Are you thankful? You thankful? This morning, my scripture is coming out of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. Habakkuk, he's a prophet. Chapter 3, 17 and 19, verses 17 and 19. In my Bible, it's titled A Hymn of Faith. A Hymn of Faith. A Hymn of Faith. Is everybody there? All right. It's 11 o'clock. Verse 17 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on the high hills. Let's pray. Father God, I just come to You this morning, Lord. Father, I pray that You would anoint me to preach and to teach this message under the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that You would give those that have ears, give them ears to hear today, Lord. Father, I pray, use me, speak through me to Your people, God. Father, I pray that lives will be changed, Lord, and that relationships will be strengthened. And Lord, in this, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor in Your holy, precious name. Amen. This morning, I got to tell you, first of all, it feels like I've had a chain taken off, like I've been unchained. It feels rather nice. I got to be honest. It feels good. I've been feeling good all week. It's just been a freeing experience. So we'll see how this works. This morning, we're going to talk about I'm thankful anyhow. And the word Habakkuk means embrace, embraced by God, and thus strengthened by Him for a difficult task. Or embracing others, and so encouraging them in time of a national crisis. The musical notation in chapter 3, verse 19 may indicate that Habakkuk was qualified to lead in the temple worship as a member of the Levitical family. The prophet was infused with a sense of justice. I'm going to say this again. The prophet was infused with a sense of justice, which will not let him ignore the rampant unrighteousness that's taken place around him. I love the word infused, because this prophet is seeing things black and white. He's infused with justice. He can't part from justice. You know, as believers, that's how we are supposed to be with the Word of God. We're to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Last week, I talked about having the keys to open certain doors, and how Jesus has given us a key to open the doors to every situation that comes our way. And here we're going to look at this prophet, and we're going to see how he has he's infused with a sense of justice. In other words, when he sees something that's not right, it's like stroking a cat the wrong way. It just doesn't work real well. And he's at the point where he's not the kind of guy that can sit back quietly and let's just let it go. Church, it's time the church gets infused with justice. It's time that the church begin to rise up and say, you know what? That's just not right. That's not biblical. That's not sound. That's not just. And we can't stand for that, because right here in the Word, this is where Jesus tells us how to live our life. And that's contrary to how we're supposed to live our life. We need to be infused with that kind of, or that sense of justice. Amen. Can I get an amen this morning? Habakkuk lived during one of Judah's most critical periods. His country had fallen from the heights of Joash's reforms to the depths of violent treatment of its citizens. Oppressive measures against the poor and a collapse of the legal system Sounds kind of familiar. The world around Judah was at war, with Babylon rising to power over Assyria and Egypt. The threat of invasion from the north added to Judah's intentional turmoil. Habakkuk probably was written during an interval between the fall of Nineveh in 612 BC and the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. The book of Habakkuk gives an account of a spiritual journey, telling of his pilgrimage from doubt to worship. And church, this morning, that's what I really want to focus on, is I want to focus on our journey from doubt to worship. Being able to take a look at the negative and turn around and make a positive out of it. Being able to take a look at discouragement and finding God's glory in the midst of that somewhere, just like the prophet was able to do. He was able to go from doubt to worship. How many struggle with doubt from time to time? You battle, you know, you look at that glass of water, it's half empty instead of half full. You're pessimist instead of an optimist. And I believe in serving God that we have to be more of an optimistic mindset. Because faith dwells in that area of the unknown. God is in that area of the unknown. God can put a river in the desert, and he can put a way in the wilderness, and he calls those things that don't exist as though they already did. That's not an optimistic, or that's not a pessimistic mindset. And in order to really embrace that, we've kind of got to knock that rusty, crusty way of thinking off. And we've got to learn how to turn our doubt into worship. You see, there's two kinds of people. There's complainers.
What you laughing for, girl?
There's complainers. Then there's worshipers. There's complainers, there's doubters, but then there's worshipers. Which one are you? Which one are you? You know, when you face a situation, you can look at all the problems in front of you and you can get overwhelmed with those problems. And you can walk around and you can talk about all those problems and all those issues and all this and all that. And it's, you know, almost to the point where we could say, okay, Captain Obvious, now that you have a firm grasp of the obvious, let's figure out how we can move on. You see, you're always going to have problems in life, but how do you get through those problems in life? Habakkuk went from doubt to worship. Church, we've got to be able to make that transition where we go from doubt to worship. I don't know how. I'm just going to worship him in the midst of it. I don't know where it's going to come from. I'm just going to worship him in the midst of it. You know, guys, men that are married, God said, I'm going to give you a helpmate. Sometimes that helpmate can remind you of statements that you've made. They do it in such a humble, loving way. Notice I said, my bride's sitting here. I got to say it that way. But yet, on the same token, in saying all that, there's a guy, his name is John Maxwell. And he says, if you're the kind of person that says, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. How many do that? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Nobody's raising their hands. He says, that's the person that's not got things planned out very well. Because you're not planning for circumstances coming. And this is where it gets a little dicey, because you want to walk without doubt. You want to be a worshiper. You don't want to worry. In fact, Jesus even tells us in the Bible in Matthew, don't worry about tomorrow. I've got it. Amen. Just take care of today. But then you got to say, what, you know, we also have to have vision, and we have to be able to plan our life out a little bit. And so what I say is, don't etch it in stone where it's not movable or changeable. Don't say, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. No, we're going to get there. So let's put a game plan together. Let's have an idea. Let's have a plan of attack. Let's have an approach plan. But let's keep that plan under the blood of Jesus. Amen? Because when it's powered by the blood, because after all, there's nothing but the blood. And there is power in the blood. So if we keep that under the blood of the Lamb, excuse me, if we keep that under the blood of the Lamb, and we say, God, these are the plans that I have laid into motion. However, they're subject to your change. They're subject to your change. Now, get ready, because the minute you say that, God will change your plans. He will, I promise you, He will. But that's okay. I remember when we were at Brownsville, we had been there for approximately 2.5 years as associate pastors, and we were brought on to start a young families ministry, and I was also a cell pastor. I had 25 cell groups underneath me that I was responsible for, and basically, we were very busy. I was running a lot. I joked about passing myself on W Street. That was the street I had to take to get to the church. And Tanya and I came home. It was in October, and the playoffs were taking place, and I was sitting there on the couch with my father watching a playoff. I never sat down and watched baseball, ever. And I was sitting there watching, and he would say, okay, now watch this. He's going to throw this kind of a pitch. And sure enough, it was that kind of a pitch. And I was just in amazement, and I was just watching this game, and Tanya and I had come home for about 10 days. We were just trying to get God's direction in our life. We could tell our season had come to an end, and we were looking for God's direction. And there were so many times when I was getting frustrated, and I was getting angry, and I was doubting, and I was complaining. And the Lord would speak to me and said, whoa, back up there, Cochise. Didn't you say just about a month ago that you were going to make your plans, but then I was able to change those plans if I wanted? And I was like, yeah. He goes, I'm changing your plans. That pastor got up and preached a message, and he talked about how some of our blessings come dressed in fine linen, and sometimes our blessings come dressed in camel hair, eating locusts and honey. He said, everybody, and the Lord tuned him out and began to speak to me, and the Lord said, people like to have their blessings come dressed in fine linen, son. He said, but this time your blessing is coming dressed in camel hair, eating locusts and honey. And he said, depending on how you handle this, you know what God was really saying to me? He was saying, are you going to worship me in the midst of this? Are you going to worship me in the midst of this? This is like right at Christmas time. In 2003, scared to death. I want to tell that pastor, don't you throw me out on the street at Christmas time. But the church was struggling. They were having a hard time. And the attendance was just dropping off by the not thousands, but it felt like that. And the Lord said, I've got you. Learn to worship me. Learn to praise me. Here we have Habakkuk during a very turbulent time when you can't trust on anything, and governments are warring, and there's chaos and division and strife and wars and rumors of wars and economy collapsing, and here Habakkuk is, he's in the middle of this stuff. Are you going to believe in God? In the last three verses, the scene totally changes. The prophet is no longer controlled by anxiety over his circumstances. The prophet's no longer controlled over by the stress of the circumstances that are around him. You see, church, too many times we allow our circumstances to dictate our relationship with Jesus. I'll get a little closer so you can hear me this time. Sometimes we allow our circumstances to dictate our relationship with Jesus. when it should be reversed. Our Jesus dictates our circumstances. And see, and this is what Habakkuk was grabbing a hold of. This is why he was able to go from doubt to worship. The Lord gave me a scripture 4 months back, Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "Fear not." Why do you think God said to me, "Fear not"? Because he knew I was going to be facing fear. Paul tells us that we're not given a spirit of fear, but we're given a sound mind. How many times, friend, how many times do we give ourselves over to fear? How many times do we, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Those are not going home. There's some donuts in the back room, though. No, that's wisdom, babe. That ain't fear. There's some great donuts back there, too. Several dozen, thanks to Brother Haas. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know where we're going. Today is Pastor Nathan and Becca's last Sunday with us. What's tomorrow hold? We don't know. But what are we doing? We're obeying the voice of the Lord. What a better place to be in. Obeying the voice of the Lord. Being right where God wants you. Being in the palm. He says, "I'll uphold you in my righteous right hand. Fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I am God. Fear not, I will strengthen you. Be not disappointed. Be not beguiled," the word says. And beguiled means disappointed. Fear not and don't be disappointed because you're walking with me. Habakkuk started getting a picture of this and started realizing, hey, you know something? In the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all this chaos, I still have my God. And my strength is in my God. And my God is never changing. He's the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He is the solid rock that I stand on. He's no longer controlled or even anxious over his circumstances, for his sights have been raised. So many times, church, we get focused on what's right in front of us, and we lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of what God is trying to do, and we can't get this thing out of our face, and we're sitting here trying to navigate, and meanwhile, we can't see any further. 6 inches in front of our face. We have to have our vision raised. That's why Paul says, look, the upward call, the upward goal, the upward prize, everything is upward. Lift your head up. Look up unto him. The Bible says, look up for the return of Christ. I mean, everything is up. You're not going to find anything on the ground. You can walk around. And you might find some pocket change. Is that coffee?
It was tea.
If it's coffee, I was going to get me a drink real quick. Yeah, you got the mug back. He's got a coffee pot. He's like my kind of guy. But you won't find anything on the ground except for dirt, crumbs, and things that people have dropped and lost. God's not after secondhand stuff. You hear what I'm saying? You guys aren't secondhand people. You guys were blood bought. That makes you valuable. You got an image problem? Look in the mirror and say, "I am blood bought. I am valuable." Everybody say, "I'm blood bought." Say, "I'm valuable." Okay, everybody's like, "Yeah, right. I'm not going to do that in front of the mirror." I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to do that. Because you know what it does? When you start confessing the word of God over your life, you go from doubt to worship. You go from fear to faith in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, when all that mess rises up in front of your face, you find the word of God coming out and bam! Right there's the key to unlock the success to whatever is standing in front of you. And whatever the devil is trying to throw at you, you're throwing the word of God back at him, and he's going to challenge you. Yeah. I mean, he challenged Jesus, amen? I mean, he did challenge Jesus, the Son of God, and said, if you are, If you really believe, no, I'm talking if you really believe, fear, come on. A little bit of fear is okay. No, no, no. We weren't given a spirit of fear. My Bible tells me to fear not. So when I feel fear setting in, that's a first sign that the devil's trying to attack me. When I feel that fear setting in. When I feel that fear setting in, that's when I put on me some little Eddie James and I start worshiping God. Because I'm saying, I'm going to take what the devil has meant to be destroying and killing, and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to give God the glory. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to put this situation in a realm in which it's in God's hands, and we're going to get kingdom responses from that. Amen? So Habakkuk raises his sights. Temporary or temporal affairs no longer fill his thoughts, but his thoughts are on things above. Instead of being ruled by the worldly considerations, he has fixed his hope on God now, for he realizes that God does take an interest in his creatures. Do you realize that God takes an interest in you? Do you realize, church, that God takes an interest in you? God takes such an interest in you that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you. In chapter 2 of Habakkuk, verse 4, it says, the just shall live by faith. Listen, I'm going to have to close this a little early here. But in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, the just shall live by faith. Has God given you a promise, a personal promise? Show me your hands if God has given you a personal promise. He's given you a personal promise. Have you seen that personal promise come to pass yet? Yes and no. Yes and no. You know what? When God speaks, write it down. When God speaks, write it down. Write down what God has promised you. Because when the provision of God changes, you can still be thankful. When things begin to seem like they're coming unglued, you can be thankful and you can say, God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your word never changes. Here's your promise. I've got it written down right here where I won't lose it. I'm going to lay hold to your promise. I'm going to meditate in your word day and night. And even though the provision or the environment has changed, your word will never change. Your word will stand forth. It'll stand true. And because of that, I can stand on your word and I can face tomorrow. Amen. I've got to read something to you. The Bible in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 said, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Now, I like to read my scripture while I'm sitting here during praise and worship, because a lot of times that's when the Lord starts to really speak to me about some other things as well, is what he's given me to preach. And, you know, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. So I'm going to read this to you because this is what the Lord spoke to me. You ready? The Lord answered and said to me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who read it. For the vision is yet for an appropriate time. But the end will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I was sitting there reading this. And the Lord said, I'm giving Bethel a word through my scripture this morning. And the word is, write the vision down. Make it plain. Make it clear that those that read it can run from it. And though that promise that God has given you, those that raised your hand, though that promise that God has given you, though it tarry, wait for it, pray it through, get on your face, seek God, call it in, every day call it in, wait for it, because it will surely come. Now that word is for, I believe, this body, but there's somebody in this church that that word is specifically for. You're praying through stuff. God has spoke to you clearly. And the devil wants to try to bring discouragement. He wants to try to bring doubt. He wants to bring despair. He wants to sow a sense of hopelessness. But the King of Kings has spoken to you. He has given you direction. He has maybe spoke to you through His Word. Maybe, like me, He gave you some scripture to begin to pray out and to stand on. And when I began to pray that scripture out, that was that spiritual warfare that was taking place and going before me. And plus, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Word, reading the Word, saying, fear not. I'd read the Word, fear not, fear not. Then why are you so scared right now? Why is fear gripping you when the King of Kings, when God Himself, through His Holy Word, told me, gave me this Word, and told me not to fear? Then the Word came, though it tarry, though you don't see the manifestation of that promise right now, wait for it. It does not mean it's not there. It does not mean that you did not hear from God. Those are the words that the devil would sow into your spirit. Tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you. Go from doubt to worship. Go from doubt to worship. I want to close with this last piece, this last point here. When we're pressing through trials, we can triumph in Christ. When you listen to verse 19, this is Habakkuk giving his praise. The Lord God is my strength. What's he doing? He's building his faith. God doesn't need to hear that he's Habakkuk's strength. He already knows. But Habakkuk is sitting here saying, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high places or on my high hills. You know, when he says he'll make my feet like deer feet, he's referring to the fact in the high hills that deer are sure-footed when they're going through the mountains. So while you're walking the walk that you're walking, while you're waiting for the promise that's been given, say, Lord, you're going to make my feet as sure as the feet of the deer that walk through the mountains who don't slip and fall to their death. And though the terrain may be rough, and though the terrain may be intimidating and scary, you are going to lead me through that terrain. You're going to lead me through that trial. You're going to lead me through that battle. And church, after all, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, the first thing that struck him was fear. But when he got his fear under control in the name of Jesus, he said, is that you? If that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, then come. Come, it's like the deer making its way through the mountains. One wrong step and the deer falls and dies. Here Peter is getting ready to step out of the boat onto the water. I heard a great preacher say, you know what the water represented? The water represented all your problems, all your trials, all your struggles, all your doubt. The water represented the impossibilities that are in life right now. And Jesus says, as long as you look up and keep your eyes focused on me, even those things will become subject to you, and you'll walk across them like they were nothing. Can we just give them some praise right here, church? Come on, just give them some praise. It's that higher ground, friend. It's that higher ground. Listen, I want to shift gears here for a minute. We want to take communion.